Well, good evening and Merry Christmas, North Peace Church family. I hope that you are all preparing to celebrate and enjoy this season. Hopefully some of you have some time off to spend with family, to eat good food, to exchange gifts, and just all of the good things that come with this time of year. Tonight, I wanted to just take a few moments and speak some words of encouragement to you, and also to remind you why we're celebrating this season. Normally, if this was a normal year, and I think all of us can agree that 2020 has not been a normal year, but if it was, there probably would have been about 500 of you here in our Christmas Eve services. And I know Christy and her team always go to great lengths to just make it special and unique. And we're looking forward to doing those types of things again in 2021. But for tonight, I just wanted to take a few moments and just speak to you as your pastor. I hope that lots of you have come to the Prepare the Way event and have done the stations as a family. And hopefully you're with your family now. And I won't take much of your time, but just wanted to encourage you. I know that 2020 has not been what anybody was expecting. Like if you were to tell me in January or February of this year everything that was going to happen, I probably would not have believed you. And I think also this Christmas looks a lot different for many of you. Probably, if I'm guessing, not exactly what you were hoping or expecting. And so I just want to share some of the ways that we've seen God work and move in the life of our church this year. And then we want to look at the last name of the Messiah from our Advent series. I know that many of you maybe haven't seen this, but God has been very faithful to us this year. Faithful to us as a family, but also faithful to our church family. I have just been blown away over and over and over by how God has provided for us, how God is not confined to restrictions or lockdowns or COVID at all, how the Holy Spirit is continuing to move and work and draw people closer to God and open people's eyes to the reality of the gospel. I've actually been so encouraged this year hearing different stories about how God is working and moving. Just to, not in a way to pat ourselves on the back or to brag about things, but I wanted to just share some stuff that maybe you're not aware of as a way to give glory to God and just encourage you in this season. We began to live stream our gatherings on March 22nd. And I believe that God had been miraculously preparing us to do just that. Like, again, if you had asked me in January or February, hey, North Peace MV Church, are you going to live stream your services? I would have said, no, that wasn't even on my mind. And yet when those first, you know, lockdowns happened, we actually only needed to buy, I think, one piece of equipment to make live streaming possible. And so, I mean, give glory to God that I think He had been leading and guiding and preparing us so that we were ready to do that in 1 week's time. We've been able to live stream our Sunday gatherings and our Wednesday night Bible studies that we've been doing for 40 weeks now, which just seems like a very long time. But in that time, just here's some stats for you to just kind of give glory to God. In that time, our services have been viewed 14,000 times on YouTube and on Vimeo. People have watched either our Wednesday night Bible studies or our kids' videos or our Sunday services. People have watched from BC, Alberta, Manitoba, Ontario, Saskatchewan, Quebec, the Yukon, Northwest Territories, Nunavut, New Brunswick. Not only just in Canada, but we have people watching from Virginia, California, Texas, Tennessee, Ohio, Indiana, Montana, Oregon. Not even just North America. We have people watching from India, Australia, Switzerland, South Africa, Zambia. Actually, there have been almost 3,500 hours of gospel teaching that has been viewed on Facebook through the ministry of your church. And that is so encouraging. And so I share all of that, not, like I said, that we just kind of brag and, you know, pat ourselves on the back that, woohoo, go us. But as a church, one of the things that we make sure is that every single time we sing or preach, we sing and we teach the gospel. And so in this 40 weeks, in this 10 months, thousands of people have heard the gospel, and it's because of the COVID pandemic. And so we go, praise God, right? God is still working and moving, not only just in Fort St. John, but actually around the world, which we never would have thought or dreamed that to do or that would actually be possible. I also want to thank you for giving financially during this time. Many of you, and I, again, I'm just blown away by your generosity. Many of you have just continued to give and support the church financially. And it is just overwhelming, the gratitude that we have to you for doing that. I actually am friends with pastors kind of all across BC, and many of them had to lay off staff and let go their children's person and their worship person and their front office people just because they didn't have enough money to keep ministry going. And yet for the past 10 months, we've been able to keep putting out content for you to grow and be discipled. We've been able to keep having a worship director and a children's director and two counselors and all of these things. And I do want to thank you sincerely for your faithfulness in giving. Also, I've heard and I've seen online many of you looking for, okay, what are creative ways that we can bless one another, right? What are ways that I can use my gifts that God has given me to encourage and support those in need at this time? And even my wife Molly and I, we've been on the receiving end of some of those things, and we were just blown away by how generous and kind and giving and sacrificial you've been during the last 10 months. So I need to tell you, as your pastor, I am just so encouraged seeing you be the hands and feet of Jesus in just, can we all agree, it's been a weird year. And so it's so encouraging to see you step out of your comfort zone maybe and just get creative in how you can bless people and point people to Jesus. So I think that in the midst of disappointment and frustration and fear and maybe anger, it's just good to be reminded and encouraged that God is still working. The gospel is still going out. And God, I think, is causing many of us to go deeper in our walk with Him. And I think even this season has caused many of us to slow down in life. We've taken stock of our lives and going, okay, what is actually important? What I need to be pouring my time and energy into? And so I'm really excited for 2021. I know that we are going to be meeting in person, and it's probably going to be soon. And it's going to be so good to actually see, you know, 150, 200 of you here singing and engaging in our gatherings. And I am so looking forward to that. And so I just want to encourage you this season that you would just invest in your walk with Jesus, learn the spiritual disciplines, learn how to disciple your kids, engage with things online as best as you can. And my prayer is that all of us would just grow in our love of the Word. So, enough of that. I wanted to end our Advent series. If you've been watching along with us, our Advent series this year was called His Name. And we've spent 4 weeks looking at the four names of the Messiah that are found in Isaiah chapter 9. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And what we've done each week is we've talked about how those names describe who the Messiah is, what his attributes are, what is he like, what is his character. So tonight I want to read from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38, and this will be the final name in our Advent series. And so if you have a Bible open, I would encourage you to grab one and open it, and you can follow along. And we want to read Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. It says this: in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The reading of God's word. So this last name of the Messiah, this wonderful counselor, this mighty God, this everlasting Father, this Prince of Peace, the last name we're told by the angel Gabriel is Jesus. And I know we've mentioned that as we've gone along, but here's what's so incredible about this encounter that we read about. If you remember in Isaiah, we're told that this Messiah, this Redeemer, he would sit on the throne of David and over a never-ending kingdom. Like, try and fathom that. This Messiah is going to sit on a throne over a kingdom that just never ends. And that the increase of this Messiah's kingdom and of his peace would know no end. And so there were a group of people, a remnant in Israel, who were waiting and longing for this day. Not everybody, because the nation of Israel was kind of in shambles. They were occupied by Rome. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were in charge, and they were corrupt. But there were a remnant, a group of people who were faithful and who were longing for the Messiah to come. And you're introduced to some of them in the Nativity story. I believe Mary and Joseph were part of the remnant, Elizabeth and Zechariah, Simeon. You have all of these characters that I think all of them were just longing and waiting for the Messiah to come. And then an angel comes to the most unlikely person, a teenage virgin girl, and says, "You're going to have a baby, and you're going to call his name Jesus." And look at what the angel says in verse 32, "And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." So listen, any good Israelite listening would have had alarm bells going off in their head, right? Roop, 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 roop. They would have immediately, like, ding, 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 ding. Wait a second. The throne of David, the ruler over Jacob, a kingdom that never ends. This is it, right? He's coming. This is the Messiah that Isaiah talked about, that's going to be born. And verse 32 tells us that the angel Gabriel says that this Jesus is going to be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. So this baby that's going to be born will not be average, will not even be just, above average. This baby Jesus, this man, this Messiah coming, he will be great. And he will be God's own son, divinity, royalty, a ruler. All of those names of Isaiah wrapped up in this child. A child born who is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus, the great one, Son of the Most High, born of a virgin. So I want to remind us of three things connected to the story of Jesus' birth. The first is the utter humility of Jesus' coming. This child born is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, literally the ruler of the universe, like the one, Colossians 1 says, the one through by which everything was created, the one who, that in everything he would be preeminent, a child born whose kingdom will literally never end, the ruler of the earth. And the circumstances surrounding Jesus' birth show us the type of ruler and the type of king that he is and the type of kingdom that he rules. And I think in turn, it shows us the type of people that we're called to be as we live in his kingdom. So Jesus, the ruler of the universe, is born to poor, unwed teenage parents, literally nobodies. Jesus, the ruler of the universe, is born not in a castle, not in a palace, but in a manger, like literally a feeding trough for animals. Jesus, the ruler of the universe, is visited on his birthday not by foreign dignitaries and ambassadors and princes and other kings, but he's visited by shepherds who oftentimes were criminals, and that was the only job they could get. Not always, but often. So you have shepherds who are the first visitors of the King of Kings. You have Jesus, the ruler of the universe, worshipped not by Israelites or priests, but by pagan magicians and wise men. So I think the birth of Jesus confirms what Paul wrote about him in Philippians 2. Speaking of Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Like, think about this. This is the God that you and I worship. A God of humility and gentleness. A God who deserved every other ruler and king and prince and dignitary to bow at his feet, and yet shepherds came to worship him. Jesus is unlike any other ruler, and his birth shows us that. He was born in humility. Now, secondly, we're reminded this season of the humility of his coming, but we're also reminded this season of the reason for his coming. The angel told Mary in Luke chapter 1 that she would have a child and name him Jesus because he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. But I love it when that same angel visits Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. He says this, speaking of Mary, she will bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, the name Jesus is Yeshua in the Hebrew language, and it literally means, the name Jesus literally means Yahweh saves. And so the angel says to Joseph, his earthly father, I want you to name this child Jesus. And the question then would be, well, why? And the reasoning is, name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. That's the reason that Jesus came. This is the reason that Isaiah 9 says, to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Why? To save us from our sins. Jesus came to earth on a rescue mission. And as you read the gospel accounts, man, you see Jesus just laser focused on that mission to save people from their sins. And so this baby that's born, this baby that we celebrate and remember at Christmas, he grew up. And he preached about the kingdom of God, and he healed people, and he fed them, and he cast out demons, and he forgave their sins. But ultimately, he came to go to the cross, to willingly go to his own death, to save us from our sins, to shed his own blood for the forgiveness of our sins, to right all the wrongs that you and I have committed, to pay the penalties that we deserve, to defeat the consequences of our own doing. That's why Jesus came. And the last thing to remember, and I find this so encouraging, is the impossibility of his coming. Because listen, when you read the Nativity story, you should be overwhelmed by awe and wonder and just scratch your head at how impossible this is, humanly speaking. But listen, God loves to do the impossible. He actually specializes in it. If you read the Bible, you'll see over and over and over again God doing very impossible things. Even Mary in our passage, she receives this news and her immediate reaction is what? She's troubled and she asks, "How will this be since I'm a virgin?" Like, listen, Gabriel, you're an angel, so maybe you don't know how this works, right? But virgins don't have babies. It's kind of impossible. But how does Gabriel respond? He says, the Holy Spirit is going to do this. The power of God is going to overshadow you, Mary. And he says, hey, even your relative Elizabeth is pregnant in her old age, and people said she was barren. And I love verse 37. The angel says this, for nothing will be impossible with God. It's not hard for God to do this. So we go, that's not going to work. But nothing is impossible for God. So I want you to take heart this Christmas in the impossibility of Jesus' birth. And I think we can look at the season we're living in, and I think many of us feel just kind of this weight of impossibility. Man, we are never going to get through this. We're never going to gather again. It's never going to be normal. We're never going to be able to do this and that. And we have this kind of weight of impossibility on us. But I want you to take heart in the fact that God loves to do impossible things. And I think we should begin to expect that a little bit. Can we really grow as a church during a shutdown? Can I actually grow the deepest I've ever been in my walk with Jesus during 2020? Can I actually grow in the fruit of the Spirit when I am just kind of stretched beyond all means? Can God actually lead us through financially, even though we're really struggling to make ends meet? The answer to all those questions is yes. I mean, Romans 8:28 says this, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Now, notice that it doesn't say, hey, if you love God, your life will be easy. Hey, if you love God, you won't suffer. Hey, if you love God, you won't have to face trial or tribulation. It doesn't say that, but it says, for those who love God, inevitably, all things work for our good and for the glory of God. So these past 10 months, right, can we say, man, God, are you working things out for our good and for your glory? And the answer is a resounding yes. You might not see it right now, but you can trust that God is a God who loves to do impossible things and take really hard seasons of life and use them for our ultimate good and for his ultimate glory. And so this Christmas, I just want to encourage you to remember and rest in the humility of Jesus, in the reason for his coming, and just in the, allow yourself to experience the awe and the wonder of the impossibility of his coming. So would you pray with me? Jesus, I just thank you that you are faithful. I thank you that this Christmas we can all slow down and remember why you came and celebrate the birth of our Savior. Jesus, the one who takes away our sins, the one who redeems us and restores us, I pray that more than any other Christmas, that this year we would really focus and dwell on that. And that Jesus, you would receive much honor and glory this season as we remember what you've done for us. And so God, I pray now as we end this year and move into the next year, God, I pray that we would be focused on you and that we would expect you to do things in the midst of a very hard season for our good, for our sanctification and our becoming more and more like you, Jesus, and ultimately for your glory. And so we just pray all of this in your name. Amen. I want to thank you for joining me tonight. I really pray that you've been blessed and encouraged. And I just want to encourage you this season, if you've got time off and if you've got some family gatherings, really dive into the Word of God this season. Ask God to teach you things and that you would grow and in your knowledge and understanding of who He is, and that God would use this season for the good of your walk with Him and for the glory of His Son. So God bless you and Merry Christmas.